love Islam. I 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 love Islam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته How are you guys doing? MashaAllah Azawajal, it's your favorite program again. I love Islam. And Alhamdulillah Azawajal, do we have a packed show for you today? InshaAllah Azawajal, we're going to be learning a very beautiful Quranic dua as well. Oh yes, we are. And also, we've got some beautiful facts about one of the favors of Allah Azawajal. What is that favor? You're only going to find out when you watch the whole program. That's the aim of the game. And inshallah azawajal, the other thing is that hopefully inshallah azawajal, we should be getting a quiz for you as well. As you know, every day we start with the quiz. But before we go to the quiz, let's go to Uncle Tawfiq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, Uncle Tawfiq, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
How was your day today?
Alhamdulillah, it's been a blessing.
MashaAllah, it was been a beautiful day.
SubhanAllah.
Let's go. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, start off with the quiz for today, inshallah, Azza wa Jal.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
There you go. That is the quiz for today. Which Prophet alayhi salam split the moon into two pieces? Do you know who that Prophet alayhi salam is who split the moon into two pieces? Hey yo, we've already got Inayat's answer. Oh my God, Inayat's too quick. He's like the rocket boom, isn't he? Wow, that is wicked, mashallah. We've got an answer from Rayan Siddiq is from us. He says, Salam, the answer, mashallah, is given as the correct answer from Sheffield. So therefore, all they're coming in, mashallah, Azza wa Jalla. Salam alaikum, Abdul Mateen. The answer is Prophet. I'm not going to mention which Prophet. Let's get into our first segment for today, My Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
MashaAllah, our first segment for today is My Islam. Uncle Tawfiq, encouraging good and forbidding evil is what we are going to be discussing today.
Hadith-e-Pak from a very famous book of Hadith.
MashaAllah.
Which is called Sahih Muslim Sharif.
MashaAllah, I've heard of that.
Sahih Muslim is one of the famous book of Hadith. In this, there's a report in which it is said that our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, amongst you, the person who sees any evil should change it with his hands. If he does not have this power, then he should change it with a tongue. If he does not have this power as well, then he should consider it bad from his heart.
Masha.
And this is the weakest point.
MashaAllah.
Yeah, this one has the weak faith. So from this hadith apart, our scholars have mentioned that there's a principle for us, for our life, that in life, if you see something bad, then what should you do first? The best form of reaction is that you stop that bad with your hands. Two people are fighting, stop the fight.
You punch both of them and you say, stop fighting, lads.
Well, if you punch both, you're not stopping the bad, are you?
You're making it all worse, aren't you?
It worse.
Oh, well, that's not a good one.
So you should try to stop them with the hands if you can. That's the best thing. Yeah. Sometimes it's not practical, depending on what type of bad thing that you see and who's doing it. So sometimes it's not practical. So in this case, second step is you say with your tongue.
MashaAllah.
Come on, boys, don't do this. You shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. Yeah. Don't swear. Swearing is bad. Yeah? You're saying it with the tongue. Then even that happens sometimes, you struggle to do that as well. Because if you were to say with your tongue, then maybe there will be an opposite reaction.
Gee.
Yeah, they might come, both of them, say, we were talking about the example of fighting. So there's two people fighting. If you were to say with the tongue, maybe both of them will forget they were fighting and they'll just...
They're going to be chasing you.
So depending on the scenario, if you feel that it's not practical for you to even say with the tongue and it will cause more problems for yourself and with other people as well, in that case, at least feel that this action that these people are doing is bad.
It's bad, yeah.
Yeah. So from this Hadith-e Pak, there's a very important lesson that we learn, and that is that at least consider evil as evil. If you see something bad, then you must call it a bad. No, don't just ignore it. Don't just ignore it, it's okay, it's fine. It's not fine. At least feel in your heart it's wrong.
Sometimes, Uncle Tawfiq, I don't know if you've been in a scenario where, you know, two people are fighting and then everyone comes and starts watching it and then they start fight on. And, you know, and these kids are, they're fighting away and, you know, no one is there trying to make them stop fighting. You know, that is really bad, isn't it, as well?
You know, I want to share a story with you. And this story will give us an understanding on how important it is for us to stop other people from doing bad things.
Gee.
Yeah. And again, I'm going to share a Hadith-e Pak with you today. This time, this is another famous book of Hadith-e Pak, which is called Sahih Bukhari.
Oh, I've heard of that as well. Yeah,
I have. Very, very famous book, Alhamdulillah. And in this book, there's a very beautiful story that I want to share with you. And this is, in this Hadith-e Pak, there's an example of some people who are in the boat. Yeah. So what happens, that there are some people, they were in a boat, and because there's two portions of the boat, and they had a little draw, and some were decided that they will go on the upper portion, some were told to be at the bottom portion. So what happened, I want to share the narration with you now. So those staying in the lower part had to go to the upper deck to get water. You know, you need to drink some water, you're thirsty. So to get some water, they had to go upstairs, yeah, and to get some water, they had some arrangements in the upper portion. And this was causing inconvenience to those staying in the upper part. Hence, one of those staying in the lower part took an axe and began to make a hole in his part so that he can access the water from the bottom.
Oh, that was very clever, wasn't it?
Well, that's what he thought. Yeah, so what does he do? He starts digging a hole underneath. So this was the intention that he had. Now, in the Hadith-e Pak, it mentions, if those staying in the upper part do not stop this person from digging the hole,
yeah,
assuming that they have nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Mind your own business.
Mind your own business. It's his choice, whatever he wants to do. So if they had that type of mentality and they left that person to dig the hole, then you know what will happen? Both groups, the people who are on the upper portion and the lower portion, all of these people will drown.
Yeah,
because obviously the boat will sink. Yeah, and they will drown. The water is going to come up. Now, it is mentioned that if they grab hold of his hand and stop him, both of the groups and the person who's digging the hole will all remain safe.
They will all survive.
From this Hadith-e Pak, one of the great scholars of the past, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he mentions that in this hadith, it is highlighted that the importance of encouraging other people to do good,
MashaAllah,
and stopping them from evil.
That guy was making a hole in the ship. Do you not think he should be given Clever Clog of the Year award? That's so clever, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, if you look at it, let's look at the scenario now, practical scenario. Now, if this was a person, you know, in the boat, he was about to dig a hole. But in our life, many occasions we see people doing bad things.
Yeah.
And most of the cases, we ignore it. You know, we say, no, it's not my business, leave it, forget it. What happens? Them problems, yeah, if we leave to them, you know, if we don't do anything about them, you know what's going to happen? then problems slowly they're gonna expand, and they will become like a cancer, a disease in the society that will cause more problems, and it will cause a lot of destruction in the family, in the family, in the neighborhood, in the society.
We should not have a habit of always saying, oh, mind your own business. Let them do whatever they want. If they want to go and smoke, let them smoke. If they want to go and take drugs, let them do whatever they want. If they want to play outside whilst it's time for namaz, let them do that. Let's go to the masjid. And what you've said beautifully is, maybe, you know, if we've got that power to stop them and we don't use that power, on the day of judgment, we could be held responsible.
In particular, our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, the purpose of his arrival is to invite people towards the good and to stop people from the bad. So this act of inviting someone towards good, encouraging them to do worship, and you know, they focus on learning knowledge and they stay away from the bad things, this is so great and noble act that this is the purpose of the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ.
Subhanallah,
yeah.
Subhanallah.
So da'i ila Allah is the one who invites towards Allah azza wa jal. And as Muslims, because there is no prophet that will come after our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the last messenger of Allah. Now whose duty is that then? Who's gonna, there's no prophet gonna come. It's our duty as Muslims. Yeah, my duty, Uncle Tawfiq's duty, and your duty as Muslims as well.
And you know how much reward we get if we were to encourage people to do good.
SubhanAllah.
Our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, whoever conveys Islamic teaching to my ummah so that sunnah can be established by it, or crooked beliefs can be removed by it, will enter Jannah.
SubhanAllah.
Wow.
Oh, I like that.
SubhanAllah. Just imagine that. Now, if you devote to this noble act and you encourage people to do good and to spread the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to stop people from having corrupt beliefs, if you could do this, then inshallah, with the blessing of this, you will go to Jannah. Wow, what a noble act, subhanallah.
Uncle Tawfiq, I've got a few messages. Binti Shafiq Atariya from Doncaster, mashallah. Amina, 10 years old, from Newcastle. Abdul Mateen Attari from Dewsbury. Ibrahim Shazad from London. MashaAllah. But Ibrahim, I think you need to go back to the drawing board. Yep. It's not a correct answer, I'm afraid. Musa Hussein from Leeds. Musa, you've given us the right answer, but what you've written in brackets doesn't mean anything. Try to write that properly, please, inshallah. Amina as well. We've got Ikra Fatima Deen Tinsley, MashaAllah. She's got the correct answer. Fariha Naeem from Rowley Regis, mashallah. And how Muhammad is 5 years old, lives in Nottingham. I think the answer, I'm going to read up to there, and then inshallah we can continue, because we've got a very, very important topic that we're talking about. Ji Uncle Tawfiq.
SubhanAllah, we are talking about how important it is for us to invite people and encourage them to do good. Let me share with you another beautiful narration. It is reported that our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was asked, Ya Rasulullah, who is the best person amongst the rest of people?
SubhanAllah.
And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best among people is the one who recites the glorious Quran in abundance,
MashaAllah,
and is more pious, calls people towards goodness, and stops them from evil the most, and treats his relatives with kindness the most.
MashaAllah.
So someone who invites people towards goodness and stops them from evil the most. The person who does more nekiki dawat. The more you invite people towards good, the more you stop people from bad. This is one of the beautiful acts that make you the best from the rest.
MashaAllah. Oh, that rhymes, isn't it? Best from the rest. Uncle Tawfiq's on fire today, isn't it?
No, it is mentioned that once Allah Ta'ala sent a revelation to Prophet Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, one who commanded goodness, prevented evil, called people towards my obedience, would be in the shade of my arsh.
SubhanAllah. Uncle Tawfiq, any example, you know, nowadays, because we're talking to our little kiddies, any examples that we can give to these children about inviting towards good and forbidding someone from. What examples? I can give an example, yeah. It's a beautiful weather. You're outside playing footy, yeah. And then it's time for namaz. What do you do at that time? If you leave that, your friends are going to say, you're spoiling the game. Now, at that time, what you need to do is, look, I'm not spoiling the game. It's time for namaz. Yeah, so you need to go for namaz. Now, what would you do if it's time for namaz? Would we tell others, or are we just going to sneak away and come back?
The best, obviously, approach is that when it's namaz time, in fact, before you play the sport, a person who wants to pray salah, he will know that it's nearly asr time. Now, if I'm going out with my friends, asr salah will come in the middle. So what he needs to do, he needs to make sure he makes the mind of his friends, the rest of the people he's going with, and let them know there will be asr time in between.
Mashallah.
And so when we have break time, why don't we have wuzu, when we play sports, and later on, have a break, let's read asr salah together.
Mashallah.
If the masjid is close by, you go and visit the masjid, read namaz with jamaat.
Mm.
Then afterwards, these days, there's a lot of time, daylight.
Yes.
So even after the jamaat, you can go back, in the local grounds, and you can still carry on if you want more sports or if you want for the fitness you're there for. So that's the best approach, where you get all of the boys with you.
Yeah,
think this way. I know you might think it's hard. They won't listen to me. But look at this. Look at it from this point of view. That all of them people, they have managed to take you to the ground.
Yeah.
But you can't take them to the masjid. Now, that's not right. Yeah, you need to put some more power in your words, in your energy. You need to be more firm. You need to be straight. And as a worst case scenario, if they don't listen to you, you should still invite them. Make them aware. Even if you think you struggle, if you say, let's go read namaz, and they're going to make a joke of it, or they're going to say something to you really bad, if you're not comfortable, that at least before you leave, don't sneak out. Make them aware that you're going to the masjid. Right, boys, I'm going to have a break now. I'm going masjid to read my asr salah. So indirectly, you've told them it's asr time. Say you're playing sports with your friends and it's asr time. So on day one, you give them an invitation. Boys, it's namaz time. Let's all go to the masjid. You invite them, but no one looked at you. No one came. So you were alone, but you were firm. You went to the masjid. You read namaz. Day two, similar scenario. Namaz time. Boys, it's namaz time now. Let's go to the masjid. No one's responding to you. They're ignoring you. Yeah, okay. No, I'm going. Just imagine that you did this 100 times. 100 days passed by and you invited them 100 times to read namaz in the masjid.
Yep.
Each time, they ignored you. They didn't listen to you. And you think, what was the point? Why did I invite them? They're never going to listen to me. This is actually a trap of shaitan.
Yeah.
Shaitan doesn't want you to invite other people. Shaitan doesn't want you to do good. Yeah. Because you invited them 100 times, inshallah, you will get the reward of inviting people towards the namaz and masjid 100 times. You will get, so there's no loss.
Some people say that if you put water on a stone, drop by drop, one day it will make a little hole. Yes. In the same way, our duty is to tell them, Our duty is not to force anyone, it's to tell them if they come, it's good for them. If not, we get the reward.
Let's talk about a group of friends that you're working on, and you want them to read namaz or read Quran, or you want them to get rid of certain bad habits that they have. And first step that I would suggest our youngsters here, the teenagers especially who are watching this, first, make a list of these friends that you want good for them, and you want them to improve in certain aspect of their life. Once you made a list of these friends, and now make a list of certain habits that you want them to get rid of, or you want them certain habits to adapt, the good habits, Make a list of these habits, and now work on each individual separately.
Gee.
Take each brother or each friend as a separate project. Yeah, it will take time. So for some, it will take more time. Some, it will take less time. But take this as a motivation, as a challenge. That this, my friend, I spend time with him so much. I want to make him namazi.
MashaAllah.
I want to take him to the masjid.
I love challenges. Yeah. Are we ready for the challenges at home, kiddies? If you are, then let's see how many people we can get into the masjid. Yeah. We can't use a cricket bat, can we, Uncle Tawfiq? No cricket bat. You can't. What about a baseball bat? Come on, at least somewhere. No, not a baseball bat.
What about a water gun as well?
A hockey stick that says, I love Dawat Islami on it. Yeah, we can't use that as well, can you?
You can use a lovely stick.
MashaAllah. Yes, what is kids at home? Yeah, we need to understand, as Muslims, it is our duty to, you know, you could have fun. Alhamdulillah, we had fun today, didn't we, lads? Yeah, Inaya and Ubed are in the studio, innit? But we can't show them because they're drinking the red juice that what we got today. Yeah, can I have a little sip, Uncle Tawfiq? Thank you.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah.
It's brilliant. I hope we're going to get it every week. Yeah. So what we need to do is, look, we've been having fun today. Alhamdulillah. We went to Manchester. We had the youth ijtima today. Yeah. And then after that, alhamdulillah, we went to someone's house. We had a little mashwara there and we had some bit of a food. Well, a bit of a food. It was quite a lot. And then we rushed it to, in the morning we had a class as well, pre-alim course. So we've been really busy. We've been having a lot of fun as well. And alhamdulillah, we've done good as well. So this is what real deen is about. Enjoy yourself, but try to do good things as well. Don't just sit in front of the telly watching cartoons and TV. And, you know, and when it's time for namaz, you don't, you know, stop it and go. We need to understand life is very short. I know we're little kids at the moment, but we need to try to get ourselves into that routine.
Uncle Fakir, Jannah is so big.
Yeah.
There are so many levels.
MashaAllah.
One of the highest level in Jannah is called Jannat al-Firdaus.
MashaAllah. Yeah,
Jannat al-Firdaus is the highest rank of paradise. And it is mentioned in a hadith park, in one narration, that Jannat al-Firdaus is specially for the person who performs this responsibility of Amrum bil Ma'ruf وَنَحْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ
MashaAllah.
Which means he encourages people to do good and stops them from evil.
MashaAllah.
So someone who does this beautiful act, Jannatul Firdaus is waiting for him.
MashaAllah. That is so brilliant. And we could be going to that. You know, kids at home, they like playing games. Don't you, lads? You like playing games, don't you? But you know, you always want to get to the top level. Why not go to the top level of paradise? And the easiest thing you do is just say to someone, it's time for namaz, can you offer your namaz? Don't do that, that is bad for you, and you'll get some rewards, and you'll get the highest level in Jannah. I've got some messages I want to read out. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am Abdul Mateen Attari. Can you give salam to Uncle Tawfiq?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
And can you give salam to yourself? Assalamu alaikum wa rafakat. Wa alaikum assalam. Jazakallah. Abdul Mateen says, today we're cooking karela gosht. Mm. Abdul Mateen, what's happening, man? Karela gosht, brilliant stuff. Leave me a play, all right. Okay, next message. Uncle Tawfiq and Uncle Rafakat, how are you? The answer to the quiz. My name is Adam Attari, 4 years old from Walthamstow, London. Mm. I like in English. You know, he's only 4 years old. And look at the English that he's writing. That's excellent. Sania, 10 years old from Rochdale. I hope you all well, mashallah. She's given us the correct answer. Muhammad Abu Bakr, brilliant. We've also got 7-year-old Ali Saleem, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum, uncle. It's me, Sabrina Sadiq, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad Ibrahim from West Bromwich, brilliant. Salam, you're okay. The answer to the question from Muhammad Inaya Rahman, Birmingham. Not Birmingham, Birmingham. MashaAllah, they've got the correct answer as well. Today, in my Islam segment, we were talking about our giving invitation towards goodness and forbidding evil. Later on, we've got a little package that we want to show you with a few other recordings. We'll watch them as well later on. But let's finish this segment, Uncle Tawfiq. You've got 2.5 minutes. Well, ooh. 2 minutes, 27 seconds, precisely.
I want to quickly cut you off there.
MashaAllah.
To save time here. Gee. I want to share with you another beautiful story. And this is an example for us how we should be in our life as well. One of the renowned Islamic scholar called Sayyiduna Shaykh Shibli, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, once fell ill. People got him to admit into a hospital, and Ali bin Isa, who was the courtier and was an admirer of Sayyiduna Shibli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, requested the Caliph of Baghdad to send the most senior physician of the royal court for his treatment. The doctor provided medical treatment very carefully, there was no improvement in his condition. One day, the doctor said, "Oh Shibli, if I learn that any part of my body will cure you, I will have no hesitation in cutting that piece off and giving it to you."
Allah.
So the doctor, you know, he was so attached to this noble person, Sheikh Shibli, and he thought, you know, he said, I'm trying my best and I can't find any cure for you. If I find out in my research, if I find out there's a certain part of my body, any limb, that if I cut that and give that to you, you'll get cured, I'll be ready to do it.
Oh my God. Yeah? That's what you call so true friendship.
That's called dedication for his job. So now, hearing this, Sheikh Shibli, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, said, "I can be cured by doing something much easier than cutting off a body part of yours. Yeah. There's a shortcut as well. And I'll be happy and I can get cured by this." The doctor said, "What is it?" He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, replied, "Cut your zunar." Zunar is like a thread or a chain that non-Muslims, they knot around their waist. And so he told him to cut that knot and become a Muslim.
Subhanallah.
And embrace Islam. "I will get overjoyed. I will be so excited and I will get recovered from my illness."
MashaAllah.
Now with this excitement, my illness will go away. So hearing this, the doctor, there was so much power in these words.
MashaAllah.
The doctor instantly cut that zunar and recited the kalima and became a Muslim.
MashaAllah. Yeah?
And Sayyidina Sheikh Shibli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who was bedridden, was cured and stood up. When the Caliph of Baghdad became aware of this, he said these words, this very famous word. He said, "I had sent a doctor to a patient, but little did I know that I had actually sent a patient to a doctor."
MashaAllah. You know, this Sheikh Shibli, his real name was Abu Bakr Shibli.
Abu Bakr Shibli.
And we read that in our Shajara Sharif, don't we? Behre Shibli, Sheikh Haq Dunya ke Kuttu se Baja.
Majority of us who are watching this program and who are not from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all of us, if you look at it, those Muslims who are watching this program, somewhere in few generations above, some generations above, you know, in our lineage as well, them people were probably not
they
Muslims.
They were not Muslims, yeah.
Yeah, and one of them, or few of them from that tribe became Muslims. And because of that, alhamdulillah, you know, some generations down, we are Muslims as well.
MashaAllah.
So how did them people become Muslims? Someone invited them.
Yeah.
Someone performed this beautiful act that we are talking about. He or she invited that individual to Islam and they became Muslims. So this is so noble, so beautiful act that we should really be excited and happy to do this. So always try yourself, find opportunities to do good. And whenever you get a chance, whenever you see something bad happening, always be one of the first ones to jump at that opportunity to stop them from doing bad.
MashaAllah.
But like with everything, you need training.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now say there's something wrong with your car. Now you can't just go and you get, you know, some tools and start fixing it yourself.
No.
What do you have to do? You have to take it to a mechanic who's qualified
if
mechanic.
If you do it yourself, you'll be called a thorough mechanic.
So,
then,
you look at any field, you have to be qualified to do that. Similarly, if you want to stop people from evil, you want to encourage them to do good, this is a skill. It's an art. You have to learn it. So first spend time with your elders and senior people, your teachers, learn the art of inviting people towards good. Because sometimes you have the best of intentions, but you have the wrong approach.
Gee.
Then you don't get the result. So this is the thing that we need to really focus on. Learn knowledge. Study about this art of inviting people. The best way is to study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and try to apply the beautiful lessons from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our daily life, inshallah.
MashaAllah. That was brilliant, alhamdulillah. We want to show you two video calls that we've gone as well. Let's get these two video calls. Let's watch them and then we'll go to the next segment. Let's watch these two video calls.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Muhammad Arshad Tari from Manchester. Uncle Rafakat Allah, I like watching your program. I love Islam. Is there any chance of making your program a bit longer? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Kismat meri chamkai, ye chamkai. ye aaka kismat meri chamka ye chamka ye aaka mujhko bidare paak pe bulwa ye aaka seene mein ho kaaba to base dil mein madina seene mein ho kaaba to base dil mein madina mein meri aap sama ja ye aaka mere aaka aankhon mein meri aap sama ja ye aaka
mashallah mashallah uncle Tawfiq what did you have to say to that That was brilliant, mashallah. First of all, we had a message and Madri Munna was asking for a longer program. Maybe we could have a program for about 10 hours. That could be possible. Let's talk to the production team. If we could have it for 10 hours, we could be here all, you know, covering all the program. And then, mashallah, that beautiful kalam, it was brilliant. Mashallah, we're going towards our next segment. And our next segment is called The favors of Allah.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
Gee, today, Uncle Tawfiq, we're talking about the hair.
The hair.
Not the hair that's like a rabbit. That's called a hair as well. We're talking about the hair that we have on our body. And I've got a beautiful fact here. It says 95% of the total skin area is covered with hair.
Wow.
There must be a reason why it is. And then it says that the average head contains over 100,000 hair follicles.
Follicles.
Obviously, yeah. So it's 100,000 follicles. What does that mean?
You call it 100,000 hairs.
Okay, yeah, that's
average.
Easier.
Average people have
100,000.
According to a study, people have from 90,000 to 150,000 hairs on the head alone.
Mashallah.
When we talk about hairs, look, maybe you know you've probably asked this question to yourself and wondered why do we have hair? What's the purpose? And have you ever counted the number of hair on your head? Something we didn't. You know, you've given away anyway. Yeah, you know, so many hair that grow on the head alone.
Just on your head, yeah.
A lot of hairs that we have on the body, they are visible. But as some hair, they are very tiny, especially for the kids. They might have hair on the cheeks here. They're very, like, very small, you can say.
Yes.
And they're like invisible in a way. But yeah. they do exist. You don't see them from far. Yeah, they do. You do have these hairs as well.
Uncle Tawfiq, someone once told me I had a hair on my nose here. Wow. Like you know, like a thingy above. And he goes, oh, what's on your nose? And I thought, what? I could feel it, but I couldn't see it. And I thought it was an aerial controlling me.
Allahu Akbar. Well, you know, subhanAllah, when we look at the hair, you think, you know, as a human, we have hair from in majority part of the body. However, there's certain parts of the body we don't have hair. For example, the lips. There's no hair on the lips.
No. Nope.
There's no hair on the palms.
Yeah.
There's no hair on the bottom part of the feet. Yeah. And this is the power of Allah Ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Why do we have hairs now? Remember this first. Know that having hair, this is one of the many favors of Allah Ta'ala.
MashaAllah. Yeah?
Why do we have hair? Depending on where the hair is on the body, has a different responsibility.
MashaAllah. Yeah?
For example, the hair on the eyelashes here, these protect you from the extensive light or dust entering the eye.
Mm.
It helps you, protects you, so it doesn't damage the eyesight. the hair on the eyebrow, they protect you from the sweat dripping from the forehead to the eyes.
Allah.
And the hair on the head, yeah, they give you the cool feeling.
Yeah. And cushion, they also
cushion-like feeling, you know, on the skull, as well as they keep you warm.
Yeah,
you know, when it's cold, especially, they keep you warm. And there's so many, you know, every part of the body, there's hair, there's a reason for that. One of the fact that, you know, I was really amazed was what, which you already mentioned, that as a human being average, we have around 100,000 hairs just on the head.
Mm.
Yeah. And subhanAllah, I was looking to this topic and I came to a study which mentions that around from 50 to 100 hairs, they fall off on a daily basis.
On a daily basis.
And this is a normal thing. So nothing you should be worried of. Sometimes when you do a wash, you're having a shower, you're washing them, you're rubbing your hair, hair fall off, or you're combing your hair, or even if you're not doing anything, the hair do fall off. Yeah. Yeah, this is a normal process.
Uncle Tawfiq.
However, sometimes, you know, kids still think, you know, hair can be compared with the grass on the field.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, what happens to the grass? Grass grows, doesn't it? And you cut it off.
Yeah.
This is something that you do with the hair as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you cut your hair, you know, you have a haircut every 3 to 4 weeks or few months period, depending on, you know, how big hair you want. So you cut your hair regularly.
Did you say how big you have the head? You know, it depends on how big the
how,
head is.
How frequent that you have, no, how big, how long you want the hairs.
Because you said big, didn't you? You said how big the head was. We've got normal heads, Uncle Tawfiq. We're not that big.
SubhanAllah. But you know, there's a beautiful fact that I learned that, you know, when you get any part of the body injured, what happens?
You bleed.
You bleed, but you get pain.
Pain, yeah.
You feel the pain.
Yeah.
It hurts. But when you cut the hair, you know, from the zulfa or when you cut your hair, there's no pain. It doesn't hurt you.
But why does our clocky cry when he goes to the barber? He's there screaming and the barber's there trying to cut his hair.
He's probably pulling his hair, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or something else. Yeah. But it doesn't hurt. And there's a very interesting fact behind this. What happens under the skin? You mentioned follicles.
Yeah.
They're like this tiny, small tubes. Yeah. At the bottom. And at the bottom of these follicles, there's like a bulb. We call it a protein bulb, if you want to call it. Yeah.
Bulb.
Yeah.
Like a light bulb.
It's not a real bulb, but you could call it. It's that type of shape.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. And what happens?
We'll call it a bulb. Yeah?
In this skin, the blood vessels in the skin, they give protein. They give energy to this bulb. And in this bulb, the hair bulb, if you want to call it, it has active cells. Yeah. What happens when these blood vessels, when they give energy, protein to this blood vessel, to this bulb, what happens? It makes it active, and then through the follicles, like a tube, the hair comes out. Yeah. And as the hair comes out from and is visible on the surface of the skin, then the active cells in the follicle, they die. So these hair that you see, the hair that you see here on my beard, for example, on the outside of the body, these hairs, there's no active cells. Yeah, they're dead cells. Yeah.
So that's your hairs are dead cells.
No, yeah, your hair as well.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Okay.
So that's why we don't actually feel the pain.
Mm.
Yeah. And what happens at a certain period, and these hairs, they have a life period as well.
MashaAllah.
Yeah? Even like I said earlier, that some hair they do fall off regularly. You know, from 50 to 100 hairs do fall off on a daily basis. But some stay, don't they? Yeah. Not all fall off. And what happens? The average, you know, the age for the hair, if you want to call it, is from 2 to 6 years.
Allah. Yeah.
And this is the period that these hairs keep growing. You know, from the root, they keep growing. We do cut them, but from the root, they keep growing from 2 to 6 years. That's their age. And then once a particular hair has grown to about 6 years, then it stops growing. Then for a few months, it'll just stay there. If it doesn't fall off, it has a rest period. Yeah. Old age, retirement, it stops for a moment. After a few months, then them hair, they fall off as well. Yeah. And then these hair, subhanAllah, look, you look at different people, you'll find them, they have different hair colors. There's so much variety. Yeah, it's amazing. And each variety has been given a certain codes. And, you know, we look at someone's got blonde hair, someone's got gray hair, someone's got brown hair, someone's got black. There's people who have red hair as well, and there's different shades.
What about pink with yellow stripes?
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, they might have done themselves.
Some people do color their hair, that's a separate thing. Indeed. But naturally, and it's amazing, you know, how the color of the hair, it fits in the shade of the face, the color of the face and skin. Yeah, so it looks beautiful naturally.
Yeah,
this is the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And today, you know, just imagine for a moment, if we as human beings do not have hairs. You know, we can't even imagine someone at the moment, yeah? It's very difficult. But if someone doesn't have hair, it will be hard for us to even look at that person.
Mm.
It'll be scary. You know, even someone doesn't have eyebrows.
Yeah.
If someone doesn't have eyelashes. Yeah? Yeah. Even if someone, the whole complete head was bald. And there are some people who may be in that condition due to diseases. You know, may Allah cure them and give them the strength, inshallah. But overall, you know, it will be very scary and, you know, abnormal for us.
Yeah, because we're answering. And Uncle Tawfiq, I've got a question here for you as well. And I've got the answer as well. Do you know how strong your hair is? It says that one hair strand can carry up to a weight of 6.5 pounds of weight. And that is, if the whole head, the hair on your head, they could carry up to 2 tons of weight. Your whole head, that is how strong the hair is. You know, sometimes people try pulling it, you can't pull it out because they're very, very strong. Another beautiful thing is, growing your hair out, for the average person, it takes about 7 years to grow your hair to your waist and 3 years to grow it to your shoulders. So if you don't cut your hair, 3 years later, they'll come to your shoulders and 7 years, they'll come to your waist. MashaAllah. If a man never shaved his beard, it would grow to 30 feet in a lifetime. Does your beard hang low? Or, you know, how big is your beard? So if you don't shave your beard, it goes to about 30 feet long. But the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that you can shave your beard, get it into a fist, and if it's longer, you can shave them hairs off, can't you? But we've got a strong package for you that you need to watch now. And we come back to, inshallah, the hair system, and we'll talk a bit more about the hair as being a favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's watch this beautiful package. MashaAllah, I'm with Abdul Mateen again. Abdul Mateen, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Are you okay? Nice to see you as well, MashaAllah. You've got someone to read to us, Abhi.
Yeah.
What do you want to read? MashaAllah, go on, read it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس
صدق
الله العظيم.
That was brilliant. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Is this the last surah of the Quran? It is. It's the last surah of the Quran. And mashallah Azza wa Jal, Abdul Mateen read it in a very, very beautiful voice.
That's the final part.
Yeah, that's the final, yeah. So there's no chapters after that. There's 114 chapters in the Quran. That was the last chapter.
I already knew
that.
Was
yeah, so you already knew that?
Yeah.
Where did you learn that from?
So basically, the Rise and Science program, I saw it, and I was asking the question, I was saying, how
many
pages are they in the Quran?
Chapters, you mean?
Yeah. And then they had like these options, and they had like one of them we said, you know, for
that. And you chose that. See, that's the beauty of watching Madani channel, you learn a lot of things as well. So make sure, like Abdul Mateen, you learn and you watch Madani channel. What's your favorite program?
Love Islam.
Yeah, nothing else could be better.
My name is Muhammad Ali Akmal. I am 9 years old and I am from Madrasatul Madina. Sallallahu alayka ya ya Rasulallah wa sallam alayka ya Habiballah بنا گن اولا بکمالی ہی کشف تجا پہ جمالی ہی حسنت جمیع خصالی ہی صلو علیہ وآلی ہی صلو علیہ وآلی ہی صلو علیہ وآلی ہی صلو علیہ وآلہ سر لام کا سے طلب ہوئی سوئے منتہا وہ چلے نبی سر لام کا سے طلب ہوئی سوئے منتہا وہ چلے نبی کوئی حد ہے ان کے عروج کی کوئی حد ہے ان کے عروج کی کوئی حد ہے ان کے عروج کی بلغل اولا بکمال ہی.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. We are here from Madrasatul Madina, Glasgow. Uncle Rafaqat and Grandad Holland, please come back to Glasgow, Scotland.
I love Islam!
MashaAllah. Ayo, we went to Abdul Mateen's house, MashaAllah, Azza wa Jal. We had him recorded, and we went to all the madrasa. And then we went to Glasgow as well, didn't we, lads? MashaAllah. Beautiful, Alhamdulillah, to see all them guys in their uniforms standing up correct, MashaAllah. And reading the kalam as well. Gee, Uncle Tawfiq, we've only got 1 minute left for this segment before we go to our last segment. What is it you want to mention?
The last thing I would like to say on this topic of hair is please be kind to your hair. Look after them, care for them by keeping them washed regularly. Even if you have to use a shampoo and rub your hairs really well. Keep them healthy and also keep your hair according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For the male, they should keep short hair above the shoulders, and for the ladies, they should keep the hair below the shoulders. A general principle that we need to keep in mind, inshallah.
MashaAllah, that is brilliant, alhamdulillah. So our favor of Allah azza wa jalla is your hair. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did say, "Balu ka ikram karo." Look after your hair. And Uncle Tawfiq told us how we need to look after our hair. And also another thing that we should do is to put oil on the head as well. That is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. It's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to oil the head and not have them scruffy. You say sometimes you didn't wash your hair for a week or maybe 2 weeks. Depending on which part of the world you live in, depends on the weather as well.
Gee.
But if sometimes your hair becomes very, what's that word, scruffy?
Yeah.
Or there's another word that's not
scruffy. Yeah,
it doesn't look nice. It'll be too greasy.
It's untidy. Can we say untidy?
Don't have it like that.
Yeah, don't have it untidy. Have it tidy. That's it. And inshallah, next week, obviously, we're going to be talking about another favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. But going to our last segment for today is language of paradise.
I love Islam, I love Islam, I love Islam. 14.
MashaAllah, the language of paradise. We've got para number 24, Surah Al-Mu'min, verse number 8. And this is a Quranic dua. We want the children to learn this Quranic dua. And also send us their videos or the recordings once you've learnt it. See how many people are going to learn this dua. Uncle Tawfiq, you're going to take the honors.
SubhanAllah, this is a beautiful dua from the Quran. And this dua is actually the dua of angels.
MashaAllah.
The dua of the angels who are responsible of holding the arsh of Allah.
SubhanAllah.
You mentioned the tafsir, Suratul Jinan, that the angels that are holding the arsh and those who are surrounding in the area, they make the dua regularly for the Muslims.
Allah.
So it's the dua of angels, and not just angels, the angels of very high rank.
MashaAllah.
They make this dua for the Muslims. So this is in this dua, we can understand the great status of a Muslim. So let's learn this dua, inshallah. Rabbana.
Rabbana.
Wa adkhilhum. Jannati.
جناتي
عدني
عدني
نلتي
نلتي
Let's learn it up to there first. Rabbana.
Rabbana.
Wa-adkhilhum.
Adkhilhum. Wa-ad.
Wa-adkhilhum.
Wa-adkhilhum.
Jannati.
Jannati.
Adni.
Adni.
Nillati.
Nillati.
Rabbana.
Rabbana.
Wa-adkhilhum.
Wa-adkhilhum.
Jannati.
Jannati.
Adni.
Adni.
Nillati.
Nillati.
Wa-attahum.
Wa-attahum.
Wa-man.
وَمَنْ
صَلَحَ
صَلَحَ
مِنْ
آبَائِهِمْ
آبَائِهِمْ وَعَدْتَهُمْ
وَعَدْتَهُمْ.
The dal will be silent here, so ayn will be merged to ta. وَعَدْتَهُمْ
وَعَدْتَهُمْ
وَمَنْ
صَلَحَ
صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ
مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ
وَعَدْتَهُمْ
وَعَدْتَهُمْ
وَمَنْ صَلَحَ
وَمَنْ صَلَحَ
مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ
مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ
وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ
وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ
وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ
وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ
وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ
وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ
وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ
وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ
وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ
وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ
وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ
وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ
إِنَّكَ
أَنْتَ
عَزِيزٌ
عَزِيزٌ
حَكِيمٌ
إِنَّكَ
أَنْتَ عَزِيزٌ
عَزِيزٌ
حَكِيمٌ
إِنَّكَ
أَنْتَ
عَزِيزٌ
عزيز
حكيم
حكيم. Once let's read it all together.
ربنا
وأدخلهم
وأدخلهم
جناتي
جناتي
عدني
عدني
نلتي
نلتي
وعدتهم
وعدتهم
ومن صلح
ومن صلح
من آبائهم
من آبائهم
وأزواجهم
وأزواجهم
وذرياتهم
وذرياتهم
إنك
أنت
العزيز
العزيز
الحكيم
حكيم.
Let me just quickly go through the translation of this dua so you know the meaning of this dua. The angels say, O our Rabb, and admit them into the gardens of dwelling which you have promised them, and as well as those who are virtuous, who are pious, amongst their forefathers and their wives and their offspring. Indeed, only you are the most honorable, the wise.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair, Uncle Tawfiq. That was brilliant, MashaAllah. What you guys need to do, this is a Quranic dua. And you know the ulama, the scholars, they say that you should make dua. And if it's especially a dua from the Quran, you should try to make that dua. So inshallah, Azza wa Jal, if you guys can learn this dua, I know you might be thinking, well, it's three lines, uncle, how can we learn that? You've got the whole week for crying out loud. You've got a whole week to learn this dua. Once you've learned it, you can make it in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. You can teach others as well, at home, in school, everywhere you can teach others as well. And alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, the reason why we are giving these du'as out is so that we can learn as many du'as as possible. And throughout this program, there's so many du'as that we will be learning. So you need to make sure that number one is you're watching the program, and number two is that you're making these du'as.
In this segment, we try to encourage you and make you aware of these Quranic du'as. However, obviously in this short span of time, it's not practical for all of us to memorize it and then, you know, try to read them dua every day. It won't be easy. You will need to memorize it. You need to learn it. So please make a note of this. This dua that we learned today, it's in Spara 24, Surah Al-Mu'min, verse, which is 40th Surah. So Surah Mu'min, Spara 24, and it's verse number 8. Verse number 8 of Surah Mu'min.
MashaAllah. We've got an audio calls. Let's go to these audio calls now.
My name is Hassan Rizatari from Blackburn, UK. The answer of your question is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah Hafiz.
My name is Fatima Hassan Rizatari. I am 7 years old. I'm calling from London. Today's answer is our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam splitted the moon in half.
Gee, mashaAllah. So that was the answer. Do you think that answer is the right one? Uncle Tawfiq, what is the correct?
What was the question?
The question was, which prophet split the moon into two pieces? Yes, so the moon was split into two pieces. That's the question on the screen. What do you think the answer is?
The answer is our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala.
MashaAllah, and both of them calls were correct. Jazakallahu khairah. Thank you for watching our program. Take care of yourself. From me and Uncle Tawfiq, assalamu alaikum. But just before we go, what is your favorite program? Let's say it together. I love Islam. MashaAllah.
I love Islam. 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 I love Islam.